This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Okay, well, the first time I went to prison was for fraud charges, and I was 17 at the time, where I was placed into a youth part of a men's prison.
Mm.
It was sheltered and it was different compared to actual prison, because I was only with 17 to 20 year olds and I was pretty much the whitest one there. So we were only allowed out of our cells an hour a day. And yeah, that was my first experience. It was pretty mellow.
When you've never been to prison and you have like ideas about what it would be like, how was it in comparison?
In my head, I just thought of my first time in prison just going to be a horrendous time with fights, arguing, and just a whole bunch of different people acting recklessly. But everyone just wants to do their time and get out, because if they do one little thing in there, they stay in there for longer.
Mm.
The only time you really get grief from anyone is people that are in there for life.
Right, yeah. So when you're in like the young people one, that's probably not very often.
When I was in the youth division for 17 to 20 year olds, there were 3 lifers in there.
Mm.
And I actually felt sorry for them. They were all in there for manslaughter from car accidents.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm. So how long were you in there for?
My very first time, I was placed in the youth division for 2 months, and then I was placed on house arrest. Then from house arrest, I cut off my bracelet and I was placed in prison for 3.5 years, but I was released on 13 months.
3.5 years is a long time.
When I was in there for 2 months in the youth division, I was on remand.
Mm.
I was on a remand in custody. I was sentenced to 7 months home detention, and because I breached the house arrest, they re-sentenced me on all of my charges, and because I was 18 by that point, I was placed as an adult.
Ah, so initially you were like
initially it was youth,
and so then it was a harsher penalty because you were an adult.
Yeah.
You were saying that like if they find out, or when they find out that you are gay, they try to put you in protection and you have to talk your way out of it. Tell us about that.
Okay, when you initially go into the prison and you get checked out by the health team, the psych team and the prison wardens, they will question you on your sexuality. If they find or have a hint of thinking that you are that way inclined, they will put you into protection. And you can either happily go into protection or convince them that you should be put into mainstream prison like everyone else, just because it's not really worth the risk of being put into protection. Because the amount of grief that you would actually get in prison just for being placed in there. So yeah.
So you get a hard time for being put in protection?
Yeah, well, it's mainly only pedophiles, rapists, or just old people are placed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pretty much under the age of 30 and you get put into protection, you're automatically classed as a rapist or a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. So people just assume that you've done something really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. And you were also saying something before about GCB or Shorten Street. Can you tell us about that?
So, it was just, there's nothing to do in prison at night time, and you get TVs in your cells, and pretty much the entire unit that I was placed in prison, you weren't allowed to speak at all from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Wow.
Because everyone would be in the, so there was a, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock is our night rec after dinner.
and they've got pool tables, table tennis, darts, and there's a big lounge area with a big flat screen TV. And you're not allowed to enter the lounge area if you're loud, because the older people will spaz out at you.
So the older people are watching the Short and Straight?
Short and Straight, and yeah. And the tail ending of the news, anyone over the age of 40 in prison is obsessed with the weather at like 5 to 7. Like, it almost started a riot one night. And that's not even an exaggeration. I had like 20 people over the age of 40 trying to go, like, 5 20-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
because one of them cracked up laughing at like 10 to 7 and they couldn't hear what the weather was like in Dunedin, and we were in Christchurch, so I don't know what the relevance was, because it's not like you could go there. So it's a thing that happened. Yep.
And so that's like, that's your break time, like after dinner.
Yeah,
you've got like a limited amount of time to hang out and kind of do socializing, recreation.
Yeah.
Yep. And so you were saying before that once you get out of prison, it makes it really hard to get jobs if you don't have a clear record for like 2 years. And so, you know, then obviously that puts you in a position where it's difficult to make money in a legal way. So it sort of puts you at risk of having to do something else illegal to get by.
So as it stands, the process of being released from prison, if you've been in there longer than 28 days, you get a thing called Steps to Freedom, which is a cheque for $350. And then you've got $350 to live on for 3 weeks, because they delay your benefit for 3 weeks until they will place you on one. So you've got $350 for 21 days. And in that time, you probably won't get a job, because 90% of jobs these days will do a criminal background check. And in my experience, no one's ever been willing to give me a job, because it's been under 2 years since my last record.
So that makes it really difficult, eh?
It does. And yeah, that's how most people will reoffend and be back in prison within a month of their being released.
Do you think that you get treated differently by the court system because of your sexuality or your ethnicity, etc.?
When I was standing in court waiting to be sentenced, my lawyer said something about my sexuality in a way that kind of sounded like I was trying to get off my charge, and the police turned around and pretty much said that I like to use it as an excuse to get away with things. And
wow, that's pretty outrageous.
That's actually on my records now with the judges, and every time judges will bring it up, and because of that, apparently I am never remorseful for any of my convictions. And it's all because when I'm in an awkward position, or when I'm like kind of like shamed out or like being shunned, I giggle.
Yeah,
it's my automatic response. I'll giggle.
And there's like masses of academic theory on people of colour and like using humour to deal with oppressive situations. Like, it's such a thing.
It's once given me an extra 3 months in prison.
Wow.
Just because I laughed. I was sentenced for my 3.5 years, and I'd gone back to court 6 months after I'd been sentenced for fines. And I didn't know how much driving fines I actually had occurred, and the judge said 18,000, and I laughed, and he had just finished saying he was going to give me a month's extra in prison, and I laughed, and he was like 3 months. Yeah, the court system doesn't really think about how much it actually affects people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it must affect your life in like a lot of ways that people don't necessarily think about, like so, like, one way that it might affect things, I guess, is, like, how your relationships go in the queer community, or, you know, like, the kind of, you know, do you feel like it's...
Yeah, I probably lose... When I got out of prison, I probably lost about pretty much 50% of my high school friends, and, like, in the gay community, when most people find out that I've been to prison, they will stop talking to me. people's opinions on you are very... Well, it all depends if they have people in their background that have been to prison.
Mm.
If they have, then they're okay, like, generally speaking. But if they don't really have someone close to them that have been in that sort of situation or been into, like, a rehab situation, then they don't really understand and they just think automatic. They are a bad person. They won't change type scenario. And it takes a lot for most people to get around that. They just have this specific idea on what people that go to prison are like and will forever be like. And it's kind of just trying to break that barrier, which never really works.
Yeah, because it's the benefit of the doubt and stuff, eh?
Yeah. And it's more worse with the charges that I went to prison for, being fraud mainly, because they automatically think that I just want to, I'm just saying what they want to hear, and people never really give it a chance. They just, I don't know, it's weird.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think would be useful, like, when you get released from prison? I'm just thinking, yeah, like, I've actually heard, like, from a lot of people that when they get out of prison, it's really hard, you know, like, with the money stuff and with the getting employment and even with getting housing. And sometimes there's, like, some kind of programs that's meant to help you, you know, quote-unquote, reintegrate in society or whatever. What do you think would be real useful? Like, what do you think the prison system or the government should do to, like, support people when they're coming out of prison to, like, you know, be able to carry on with life and not have a hard time?
Speaking for myself, there isn't really anything for gay males when being released from prison. Like, I was... Most of the time I have been in prison was in Invercargill, and when you are released from prison, you need to put down an address, and, like, an address where you're staying. And if you can't provide one of those, there's only the Salvation Army.
Right. So you have to have a fixed address to get
paroled. Well, depending on what your release conditions are. Yeah. And yeah, so it can be hard for some openly gay males in prison.
Mm. So having, like, a criminal conviction really seriously can impact your
life.
Yeah, and your career choices, you know, like,
basically for the first 2 years of your last criminal charge on your record, that pretty much that 2 years you're only get, like, labouring jobs and, like, horrendous jobs. You can't even get a job in the supermarkets or at McDonald's. And they won't give you a labouring job unless you've got experience. And all my actual work experience is through telemarketing, call centre work, working in administration. And I can't work for any of those anymore.
Right. So then your options when you come out of prison is voluntary work.
Yeah.
That doesn't pay the bills.
No, like, when I got out of prison December 31st, 2013. I moved to Wellington, couldn't get a job, become a sex worker, and volunteered at the NZPC.
Yeah, so it, like, cuts down a lot of your... I suppose, do you reckon that that's largely because of... Because it's not as though it's illegal to give someone a job who's been to prison. I suppose that's heaps to do with, like, stigma against people who have convictions.
It's just, it's easy to judge someone on paper without meeting them.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they're reading about it on paper, like, first, before even wanting to meet you or give you an interview, just the whole seeing it on paper will pretty much 90% of the time avoid that scenario of you getting an interview. And even when by chance you do get an interview, because they're like, they understand the situation, that it will really happen. But if it does, you pretty much get the job. If they get willing to give you an interview knowing about your criminal record.
Yeah. So, like, the places that are not prejudiced against you, you know, the places that aren't going to automatically discriminate against you, once they meet you, they're like, oh yeah, you're awesome. And
yeah, but it's just, it's hard these days, because most jobs will want at least a year experience, and no one's willing to give you the experience so you can get the job.
So you were saying that you did sex work when you came here. Was that different than you thought it would be? And what kind of, did you find that you, you know, met like interesting people or?
I was 16. It wasn't because I needed the money or I was dependent on drugs or anything like that. I was on a dating website saying I was 18. Some guy offered me money and I was just like, people do this? And I'm not going to say no sex for money because, like, it's my two favourite things. And, yeah, it started off from there. And as much as I give it out for free, I give it out just as much for money. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's quite a common way that people will start, you know, not like sort of setting out to do sex work, but just kind of like...
I've worked for myself on numerous occasions, and I've also worked in male parlours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a male parlour. Actually, no, I've worked in two male parlours.
What was the main, like, differences, or what did you like or dislike about, you know, working for yourself versus working...
Well, working for myself, I got to keep 100% of the money, and I got to choose what sort of money I was to earn. In a parlour, it's they've chosen the amount, and you, at the best of time, will see half of it, if that. So, I do prefer working privately, but there's always that kind of doing privately and working in a parlour.
Mm-hmm. So the plus side, like what you get for the half the money that you have to give to the parlour, to the owner or whatever, that's for like the plus side of working in a parlour would be that you don't have to have your own place where you can work from, or what would be the
that security and not having to fund yourself for advertising and or trying to putting yourself out there to get clients. It's everything just comes to you. You sit there and look pretty until they arrive.
Mm-hmm. And when you're doing it privately yourself.
And when you're doing it privately yourself, you can either be putting yourself out there on dating websites, Grindr, Tinder, advertising in newspapers, and you're putting through the effort of talking to the guys, seeing which ones are actually going to book you or which ones are just wanting to chat, and then just cycling through them and actually getting down to getting a booking, which can take ages, which is just the effort that you put into it is what you'll get out of it.
So lots of the actual work of it is in the hustle to kind of set the bookings up.
Yeah.
Would you say, because I've heard people say that, like, it's more work arranging, you know, the hustle is more work than the actual what happens in the room kind of thing.
Yeah. If you're like privately, if you advertise in the newspaper, you could just get someone that will contact you and be like, are you available now? I'll come see you now. They won't ask your details or your preference or anything like that. They'll just show up. But then you've got the guys who want to know about every little freckle on your body.
And so how did you find it working for a manager? Like, you know, working in a male brothel?
It was a little bit awkward because my boss was kind of like my mum.
She was actually your mum?
Yes, my mum was my pimp. No, one of my best friend's mum, and I called her mum, and we ended up living together in the brothel.
So it was a little bit of a unusual setup. Like, I mean, a little bit different from...
Yeah, it was not really your standard brothel life or sex worker life. It was working receptions while, if the client was me, I'd be going into the back room. I was answering doors.
And would you say that sex work has taught you or like helped you develop different skills that you might not have otherwise got? Like, some people, you know, will say that they are really good at negotiating, or, you know, they're really good at like making people feel comfortable or that kind of thing. Do you feel like you got any?
I pretty much had all those skills. Like, I'm black, so I'm good at hustling automatically. The only thing was I pretty much started off in the industry as vanilla, and now I can happily hurt people for enjoyment and get paid for it.